Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
We wanted to talk about this call for the road networks to be more cyclist and pedestrian friendly. Joining us this morning is Neil Robinson. He's the CEO of Pedal Power Association. Good morning, Neil. Thanks for joining us. How are you doing?
Hi, Howard. Thanks for having me on.
So first of all, let's just start with the current situation. How does Johannesburg look from a cyclist and pedestrian perspective?
Well, I think it mirrors the country. I think it's highly dangerous most of the time when you take a bicycle onto the road or you are a pedestrian on the side of the road. We live in a society which doesn't follow the law. And until there are consequences, we are going to face the same issues year in, year out. As part of our mandate at the Pedal Power Association, we work with government on a whole host of things, and a critical one being safety on the road and safe cycling and non-motorized transport systems. Unfortunately, our resources in South Africa are sometimes stretched, right, and we are not dealing with, as we know, crime is a major issue, and cycling and incidents on the road with cyclists form a major part of that.
Right.
So it's a huge problem. It's systemic and it's widespread, and it's going to take proper interventions and policy change and also legal intervention, I think, to change behavior long term. South Africans are generally, we all do it. I break the law, and I mean, I could go 62 in a 60 zone. We all do it.
Right.
None of us are immune from breaking the law.
Right.
Whether it's, it's the old saying, you take 5 cents or 500 rand, it's still stealing. It's still breaking the law. So
right.
I think a proper behavior change needs to happen alongside legal and prosecutional consequences for perpetrators. I mean, we've had in the past people which have knocked over and killed cyclists, slam dunk cases, which have been thrown out on technicality. So we are working very closely with government. Sorry, very long answer to your question, but we are working with government and the right lobbyist groups and NGOs, etc., to try and bring about some form of change.
Right.
It is going to take time. Politics is a long-term game, and it's part of my job to make sure that does happen. Gauteng is a very, very key area for us. I mean, we are a national-wide organization. We're based in the Western Cape, but we certainly will be working a lot more in Gauteng and KZN in the future.
I would imagine that Cape Town, the Western Cape, is better than we are here in Joburg, though.
So when you said better, I mean, I don't know. We were talking this morning at breakfast around some statistics, and the last stats I had was back in sort of 2017. So we need to do another study on incidents on the road and the type of incidents and the type of research we do.
Right.
So I can't say definitively if per car on the road, you can lie with stats very easily.
Right, of course.
And we need to look at what is a generic measurement, either quantitative or qualitative, across the country. When you're measuring the same stuff and you're comparing apples with apples, then I can say Gauteng is better or worse than the Western Cape in certain areas. But the Western Cape has its problems. It's a different led government, as we know.
Right.
But it still has its challenges.
There are areas with cycling lanes, for example, whereas
I'm not sure
in Joburg if I can even think of any.
No, there are in Joburg.
There
absolutely are.
Right.
Cape Town is better off from that perspective. But when you build cycle lanes, you have to maintain them. You have to maintain the road structure. And, talking about bushes overgrowing, people living in the bushes, vagrants,
right,
et cetera.
Right.
That causes major mayhem. So you have to deal with a problem holistically. You can't just deal with, let's build a cycling lane and then not maintain
right.
it.
Well, then I guess the question is, how much of this is cyclist specific and how much of it is this endemic problem that we've got in our city? So when you've got potholes, your cyclists are going to feel it more than somebody driving in their 4x4. If something's not maintained, if there's crime on the streets, a cyclist is very vulnerable. They have very little protection and they're wearing lycra. But I suppose that's something different. But it means that effectively they are much more vulnerable to some of the stresses and the the challenges that the city, that any of our cities are facing.
You're absolutely correct. I mean, cyclists are very vulnerable from obviously trucks, cars, etc. They are on a two-wheeler with no protection besides a helmet. That's it. So they protected, should be protected from number one, the vehicles. I mean, we have a 1 meter legal rule in the Western Cape that if a motorist doesn't pass within a 1 meter radius, they can be fined. I mean, okay, the law and policing the law are two different things. I get that, but that's the one issue. The second issue is people getting stabbed, robbed, mugged, etc. on the road because they're vulnerable. Right. You know, and bicycles cost a lot of money. So the guys know, the criminals know that, you know, we've had incidents in the past where they stop a peloton, which is a group of cyclists.
Right.
And they pick a couple of bikes, steal them, put them on their truck and off they go. They know the expensive bikes.
Wow.
And you're talking, you know, R500,000 for four or five bicycles because they are expensive. So the criminals are not stupid. They're very crafty and they're very clever. It's about, and you said it earlier, it's an endemic problem throughout South Africa about crime. You know, the haves and the have-nots, the poverty, lack of jobs, lack of opportunity, that, you know, that breeds crime. You know, how are people supposed to live? Not going to thrive, but that's what we've created here.
Right. So what is your first priority as you try and deal with this?
So we have a number of different sort of strategic pillars. The one is advocating for safety on the road through government and lobbyist groups. That's a long-term plan. I mean, we input into various white papers, like, for instance, the President's Just Transition Document of 2050, which is a climate change document, and cycling plays a key role in that. So we input into lots of cycling strategy documents from a governmental point of view. So we want to see land usage change. We want to see cycling systems built. We have to talk to corporate South Africa about end-of-cycle facilities, locking away your bicycle, shower facilities, having taxis around Joburg if you want to attend meetings, etc. So there are lots of things to do there. The second pillar is getting bicycles to poorer communities, because if you want to create a groundswell of people on the road, you need to, number one, teach children how to ride, maintain their bicycles, as well as make sure that the areas that they're riding are safe. So that's a huge project, and that's a long-term one. Bicycles are very expensive. Even a R2,500 bike for someone who's earning, you know, little money, it's unachievable. So we're working a lot with government overseas organizations. We run programs to get bicycles away to needy communities and school children. So that is a big issue. We run events. Obviously, we Cape Town Cycle Tour, other premier events around the country, which, again, raises the profile of cycling and gets younger children and families into doing a recreational sport and ride on the weekend. So there's a massive health issue as well, which we're working on around that. You know, obesity is 51% in some of our population demographics. So those are kind of the main thrust of our business. It sounds simple. It is simple, but to execute against it's going to take a lot of time with a lot of effort and a lot of resource that's required. So we do collaborate with a lot of people, a lot of different cycling clubs, Cycling South Africa, SASCOC, government, you name it.
Right.
So it is a complex situation, but, you know, we believe in the next 10, 15 years, if we get some stuff right now, there will be change.
And that's where we leave it. Neil Robinson, CEO of the Pedal Power Association. It is 8:30. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning.